the other, the cat guy's address. But Leslie, I think...
The Black Rock Coalition, Faith, and the Michael Hill Blues Band, along with Carl Berger's Rhythm Changes, Bev Grant, East Side Bandits, The Unforgotten Voices, The Living Theater, and much, much more, at the Tompkins Square Park Band Shell, this Sunday, October 28th, starting at noon. Informative tabling welcome. This has been a public service announcement on behalf of Sane Freeze and the Lower East Side Squatters.
Hi, I'm Edward Asner. Do you believe in freedom of speech? I do. That's why I support Free Speech Radio, listener-sponsored WBAI New York, 99.5 on your FM dial.
And a very good evening to one and all. This is Emmanuel Goldstein, and the program is Off the Hook. And I just barely got off the hook tonight. Getting here on time can be sometimes quite a challenge in itself, but you know, I learned something. I learned something very important tonight. And that is similar to the things we talk about here, where you trust yourself, you trust your lives, your well-being, you put it all in the hands of technology, you know, in the hands of somebody else who says, don't worry, everything's going to be just fine. Well, as some of you may know, I have a rather long commute to get in here, and tonight I was kind of driving at moderately high speeds to get here on time, and suddenly I realized, hey, I'm so far ahead of the game, you know, I might as well just sit back, relax, get on the MTA, and read a paper, plan out the program a little bit, you know, just like they do in the commercials. Well, got to the train station and waited for the train. All these trains kept passing by, one after the other, about three or four trains kept passing by, crowd of people getting angrier and angrier. And I realized, standing on that train platform waiting for a train that eventually came about half an hour late, that once you trust your well-being and put that in somebody else's hands, you lose so much control over your future. My future almost not making it here tonight because of a foul-up that I still do not understand. Well, foul-ups and blunders are something that we like to focus on in this program. It's not that we get any kind of sadistic delight in seeing things mess up, but it is interesting to see just how bad things can get, and that's one of the things that we are going to look at right now, particularly with regards to computers and telephones. some of you may know of a few stories that have not been told. And if that's the case, I would appreciate you sharing it with us. We'll have a section for calling in a little bit later on in the program. You ever have a problem in a car? I mean, I was okay in my car tonight. It was working. It was doing everything it was supposed to do. And you're in control of your destiny. You're in control of moving that machine. And a lot of people feel much more comfortable when they have kind of a one-on-one relationship with a piece of machinery. Well, you're on a bus, you don't have that same relationship. You're on an airplane, you have even less. You have to completely trust your well-being. In fact, you have to trust your entire life. Whether or not you will continue to be alive depends upon the actions of somebody you don't even see. And the actions of computers and machinery that you have no conception of how it works. Well, that's coming closer and closer to us. And such remoteness is actually reaching us in our cars now. Listen to this story from the RISC's Computer Digest, which is an electronic newsletter that is passed around from place to place. With all of the discussion on computerized and electronic controls in aircraft, one should not overlook the fact that there could be more down-to-earth risks along the same lines. One of our cars has a computer and various other electronic sensors that control the engine. A couple of years back, shortly after we bought the car, it started intermittently losing power. Not too much trouble on city streets, but on the freeway, it was downright dangerous. The symptom was that the car's engine would drop to idle speed and would not speed up, no matter what we did with the gas pedal. It could be reset by turning off and restarting the engine. We had brought the car in several times, but the dealership could not find the problem. Then came the fateful day. My wife was driving the car when the engine dropped to idle at the merge of two freeways, and she was in the slow lane of one freeway that merged with the fast lane of the other. I was not happy when I got the call. I told her to call the dealership to come get the car. But somehow she was talked into driving the car to the dealership, and then the same problem occurred. This time, though, it occurred in front of a truck hauling an oversized load in the slow lane of the freeway. If there had not been an off-ramp and a truck driver that was on his toes, we might be talking about my wife in the past tense at this point. The eventual problem was an intermittent failure of a sensor in the air intake system. The computer responded by cutting down the fuel flow to its minimum setting. One has to wonder how many of these types of problems exist out there and how many people have been killed by such actions. Out in California, they're having a lot of fun with the Department of Motor Vehicles. This person here says, I just received my registration notice from the DMV. This piece of paper shows the amount of money I need to pay so that I can drive my car for the next year in California. Well, imagine my surprise when I saw the amount. $2,214. An extremely big surprise since I only paid $600 last year, which is still quite a lot of money. I don't know if that includes insurance. If anybody knows how that works, it's a lot of money to pay for registration. Here in New York, it's much less than that. But he was billed $2,214 and only paid about $600 the year before when he purchased the car new. Now, the excuse from the clerks at the Department of Motor Vehicles seems that they have just started using a new computer program for billing purposes, apparently on their new Tandem computers. And surprise, surprise, it seems that everybody who got a recent registration statement has an invalid amount. I had to go to the local office so that they could print up a new form with the correct amount. I don't know if registration statements were the only incorrect items produced. They didn't volunteer the information, and I didn't ask. I certainly would have asked. Supposedly, some people receive bills for less than the correct amount. And by the way, the correct amount, I was supposed to pay $351, and this poor guy was billed $2,214. And continuing along that note, Electronics Times reports that National Semiconductor's real-time clock chip, part number MM58274B, quote, has a tendency to switch from a 24-hour clock to a 12-hour clock when subjected to electronic noise. Two examples are given of problems allegedly caused by the chip. Quote, The chip caused the time clock in a financial system to skip from Thursday to Saturday, leaving employees without paychecks. And it has also caused problems for the United Nations Atomic Energy Agency. Let's try that again. The United Nations Atomic Energy Agency. Boy, I wonder how they answered the phone. Probably UNAEA. Anyway, it has caused problems for them, which uses the chip in a televised security system for guarding nuclear fuel. Oh, boy. And if you were reading the San Jose Mercury News, which most of you probably were not, you may have found this piece. All sorts of explanations have been offered for record-high temperatures across the country. The greenhouse effect, the growth of cities, even chance. But the National Weather Service is examining an additional theory. The thermometers were wrong. The service is studying the thermometer at issue, an electronic sensor called the HO-83. Oh, there's more, folks. We could talk all night about this, but I selected a few classic stories of computer foul-ups and abuses of privacy and that kind of thing, and living proof of how things can get so out of hand if only we allow them to. Check this one out. From California, the Department of Motor Vehicles, yet again, this poor person here, who says, I have nothing against Italians, only against ignorant public relations people. A month ago, my mom got a letter in the mail from the California Department of Motor Vehicles. On behalf of the Italian community, it said, who had recently launched a PR stunt against anti-Italian bumper stickers, on behalf of them, she would have to change her license plate. Her plate read W-O-P-E-R-1. W-O-P-E-R-1. Coming from a feminist word, woman, person. W-O-P-E-R. And the one was there because the license plate Bible reported that somebody already had W-O-P-E-R. The Italian PR guy had the DMV search their computers for any string containing the word WOP, W-O-P. Now, my mom's plate had nothing to do with Italians, and there are plenty of words that Grep might pick up, all containing W-O-P. And I might say Grep is a Unix term, an operating system on various computer systems. And what Grep does is it allows you to search for a particular string in any body of text. So you could look for, you know, the letter A and the letter A followed by B, and it would give you every instance of that. So what this person had done was grepped for W-O-P. Now, my mom wrote an extremely formal letter. She's an attorney, after all, and that's good for something, to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they apologized over the phone. But they would change the plate to W-O space P-E-R. W-O space P-E-R with that space to distinguish the word from any anti-Italian slang. They also reported that the first person who had W-O-P-E-R no longer had the plate, and that plate was available for use. Well, the new plate arrived last week. It read W-O-P-E-R, no space. Nice job on behalf of the DMV. And the bill for the plate read $1,200, and the actual bill was $108, but because of the recent computer foul-up that we mentioned before, certain little things happen like that. Anyway, the concern here is, should agencies like the Department of Motor Vehicles be allowed to just grep a database on behalf of a PR stunt for any phrase containing WOP or anything else? Something is wrong here. Next thing you know, colleges will be scanning their applications for last names ending in EZ to fill some quota of Mexican students. Well, Mexicans aren't the only people whose last names might end in EZ, just as W-O-P isn't always a derogatory slang against Italians. Computers are becoming more useful to the tools of prejudice. And speaking of the tools of prejudice, this is kind of a public service announcement for some folks out there. This was posted on a computer board known as alt.activism. It's one of those internet things that gets sent all over the place. And subject is called New Dimensions Phone Zap. Let's see what that means. New Dimensions Magazine is not to be confused with New Dimensions, the radio program, which is not like this at all. New Dimensions Magazine is a new right-wing news magazine, and they put news in quotes. It is known for its misinformation about AIDS, saying things like AIDS is airborne, misinformation about gays, activists, for instance, AIDS or gay activists are potentially dangerous because they may have dementia and could do something crazy or destructive, that kind of thing. So ACT UP of Portland has called for a phone zap of this rag, phone zap being sort of the same thing that happened to Jerry Falwell's 800 number a few years back, where a hacker would continuously call up with his computer, and Jerry Falwell would, of course, foot the bill for every single call that came in. Now, they gave the number out for New Dimensions, 800-877-3227, but a warning is in order here for anybody that might be engaging in this practice. As we have proven on this radio program, when you call 800 numbers, your number very often, more often than not these days, shows up. So you don't want to be doing things like that if your number is attached to it. So be very careful with that kind of thing, because I'm sure they're looking for people to nail. It's very annoying when people keep calling 800 numbers, and we all know that. And second to finally, from Government Computer News of October 1st, agencies violated the Privacy Act 292 times last year by failing to notify the public about a third of their largest personal record systems. The report by GAO's Information Management and Technology Division, Computers and Privacy, said many agencies ignored the Privacy Act's publication requirements and did not issue Federal Register notices for 35% of their personal record systems. The Defense Department reported that most systems covered by the law were 360, followed by the Departments of Health and Human Services with 210, Department of Justice, 169, Department of Agriculture, 87. However, agencies published notices for only 535 systems. 46 agencies said they participated in computer matches, The report said 4.32 million matches, 78% of the total, were done for law enforcement purposes. Another 16,245 were for tax purposes, and 10,028 involved queries on delinquent payments. The Drug Enforcement Administration and Farmers Home Administration accounted for 97% of all matches. This contributor observes that many federal criminal databases are not even covered by the Privacy Act's provisions, and that computer matching of government databases was supposedly prohibited by the Privacy Act. However, it still goes on in increasing numbers. And finally, phone lines, including the 911 emergency number, were dead throughout San Luis Obispo in California for 30 minutes on October 9th. The interruption, which affected 30,000 customers, occurred at 10:15 p.m. and affected virtually all phone lines in the city, said Jim Bauer, Pacific Bell's Central Coast area manager. Bauer said the interruption was caused by a computer programming error made by a Pacific Bell employee. "We were putting in a new program, and an error was made," he said. "We were responsible for the error and corrected it as soon as we could." As soon as we could meant more than 30 minutes of no phone service to the Sheriff's Department, from the Sheriff's Department, including the 911 number. That according to Sergeant Scott Thompson of the Sheriff's Department. But the disruption didn't cause any serious problems this time. So, you got to be careful with all these computerized systems, because things will go wrong. They will go wrong. Next, we'll be talking about long distance, and we'll be taking your semi-long distance phone calls. Stay with us. Off the Hook. Given enough time, there's always the human desire for some reason to rip other humans off, you know, and I don't understand what this necessarily draws from, what particular human chemical there is that says thou must rip off thy fellow human. But we're seeing it all the more these days with newfangled telephone and computerized systems, and it's very important that we remain awake and know just what's going on, you know. Those of us who watch late-night TV, you see it all the time. You see, these lonely people on TV call up other lonely people and talk about how miserable you are, hear how other people are doing terrible things, listen to the confession line, listen to the secrets, listen to outright lies by other people about people that don't even know they exist. Only $2 a minute, only $25 per call. It's insane. Do people really fall for this garbage? And what is it that allows this garbage to exist in the first place? Well, of course, part of it is developing technology that allows multiple lines, allows interpretative billing, let's put it that way, rather nice way of putting it. A couple of years ago, New York City only had the 976 exchange for mass announcements, and we didn't have that many of them, and they were a set rate, or I think they were about 25 cents at that point. Now we have the capability to have interactive systems where you get hooked up to conference calls, where you can punch in touch tones and leave messages for people, where you can get connected to all kinds of suggestive recordings. And, you know, we all expected a flurry of these kind of things to pop up, but I must admit, I am in awe as to how long this has been going on for. Picking up the Village Voice, otherwise wonderful paper, but I cannot understand why they have this glut of advertisement in the back of every issue. Hot Gals Tell All, Uncensored Confessions, 1-900-990-1212, only $2 a minute. Ladies' Night, On the Line, Meet Hot Ladies Who Know What You Want. Men, TVs, Couples. TVs? I don't know what that means. Leave a message free, $3.50 per call. $3.50 to leave a message. Love Talk, Live, 1-900-230-LIVE for real women who want to go live with you. That's right, we're real women on the other end of the phone. It's the most incredible technological breakthrough you've ever heard of. Sassy Lady, 1-900-454-0400, $1 per minute, $2 the first. Something different, something you can't get at home. Gals Are Waiting, Call Them All, Hot Dates for Adults Only, Ladies Are Waiting, The Hot One-on-One Line, Oriental Dream Dates, Women's Secret Fantasies, Midnight Confession, The Night Makes Them Tell, Women's Private Dreams. Turning the page, 1-900 Love Men, Dial Now, Guys Are Waiting, Transvestite Transsexual Crossdresser, 99 cents a minute, $2 first minute. It just goes on and on and on. The Black Line, Where All Men Are Welcome, for black gay people who want to pay $2 a minute to talk to other people. You know, it doesn't cost that much money to well, let's just find out here, because this is something that I find very, very annoying. Let's see if we can actually get an answer on this. Okay, I've got a dial tone. I don't know why I have a dial tone here. Let's try dialing that number again.
Hello?
Yes, that's one of our callers. You just sit tight. We'll get to you in a minute. Okay. We should have an operator coming online any second now, if these phones will actually work the way they're supposed to work. Okay, we have an operator coming online. A laughing operator.
Yeah, telephone, Miss Square, may I help you?
Yes, hi. Can I have the long-distance company, please?
Darling.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
Hope this one's not laughing.
AT&T, how can we help you?
Hi, operator. I'm interested in the rates to call Japan. Japan at this time of day, how much it costs to call there.
Okay, hold on, please.
Thank you very much.
Okay, from 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. It's $2.55 for the first minute, 99 cents each additional.
99 cents each additional minute. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, so, folks, 99 cents for each additional minute. You can call Japan. You can call Japan for less money than most of these lines are asking for. And speak to Japanese people who want to hear from you. Yes, real Japanese women are waiting on the other end. And all kinds of other people, too. So make random calls. You'll probably wind up in better shape. There's another interesting one that just showed up a couple of weeks ago in the Village Voice. That was Free Adult Phone Fantasy, and it's an international number. It's located in the Netherlands Antilles. Country code 599 and the number 2626 or 6262. And the funny thing about this, you know, you say to yourself, I'm making an overseas call somewhere, but you're actually paying less than you would pay to call one of these rip-off numbers that show up all over the place. But ripping people off does not stop at these mass announcement numbers. You find all kinds of rip-offs in the long-distance field as well. I just got something in the mail today from AT&T. And if this is true, if what AT&T is saying is true, then there's some pretty sleazy things going on out there. Look at this. This line that appears on an advertisement says very distinctly, this is from another long-distance company, domestic rate comparisons refer to our discount level versus AT&T basic rates. I mean, do you know what that means? That means the other company is comparing their discount level to AT&T's full price level. And much as I dislike AT&T for whatever reasons, this kind of advertising is so sleazy, so incredibly sleazy, and so apt to capture people who are unwitting victims of all this. Now, how did all this come about? Obviously, the breakup of the phone company is a major part of it all. And the free enterprise system, I suppose, allows for this kind of thing to happen. It will continue to get worse unless people become educated and know what to look for. And you don't become educated by saying, well, all the new companies are bad and all of the competitors are out to rip people off. You look for the warning signs. You look for those sleazy campaigns. And you tell other people when you find them. That's really the only way to become an educated consumer. In a moment, we'll be speaking with somebody who works for one of those phone companies, actually a very unusual phone company, one that does not exactly fit the mold. And when we...
As your long-distance telephone company, you can now begin placing your Dial 1 calls on the AllNet network.
Yes, I had a bad splice in there. You could hear it. And there are even more.
Thank you for choosing Metromedia ITT for your Easy One Plus dialing. Your service is active and we appreciate your business.
I know, it sounded like somebody was chasing her.
Thank you for using Telesphere.
Simple and to the point. If anyone has any others out there, feel free to let us know what they are. Send us recordings. We'd like to hear them. Here's one more.
One, two, one, five. Welcome to Telecom USA One Plus Dialing. If you have any questions, call 1-800-383-3333. 1-2-1-5.
Longest 800 number in history.
1-2-1-5.
Even longer. And that's a little summation of some of the long-distance companies that are out there. Now, there is one other long-distance company, and this is a rather unique one. It's called Working Assets. Now, you may have heard of the Working Assets Visa card, which takes a percentage of your purchases and donates them to various causes. Well, now there's a long-distance company that does basically the same thing. We'll be speaking with the president of that company in just a moment. Building houses for the homeless, starting a lab to test your home's water and soil, helping to prosecute a white supremacist organization are just some of the direct results of more than 100,000 progressive consumers using their credit cards and long-distance phone service as tools for social change. These consumers are all customers of Working Assets Funding Service, the company that helps people change the world just by doing what they do every day. In the last year alone, Working Assets donated $356,415 to 32 nonprofit action groups working for the environment, human rights, economic justice, and peace. Working Assets donations are a result of green tapping, a process by which money already in the economic system is redirected toward improving the world. When a member uses Working Assets long distance, for example, 1% of the charges goes to action groups at no cost to the caller, and long distance and credit card holders vote on how to allocate the funds among the 32 selected groups. Now, we've got on the line with us Peter Barnes to read over this brief biography sheet I've got here. Pete Barnes is a true practical idealist who has combined social activism with enterprise throughout his career. He is co-founder and president of Working Assets, the socially responsible San Francisco-based company that allows members to generate funds to help the world through everyday activities like charging a purchase or making a long-distance phone call. In 1985, as a co-founder of the Working Assets Money Market Fund, the nation's largest socially responsible investment fund, Barnes developed the concept of building a fund for social change through consumer spending. And as a result, the first Working Assets consumer service, the Working Assets Visa, was born. Prior to the launch of Working Assets, Peter co-founded and was president of a California-based solar energy company called the Solar Center. His career also spans more than a decade of journalistic activity. He has served as publisher of Mother Jones, as an editor of The New Republic, and as a correspondent for Newsweek. Devoted to making the world a better place, Peter has served as a director of several nonprofit organizations dedicated to social change, including the National Cooperative Bank and the State Assistance Fund for Energy. He's a graduate of Harvard University, holds a master's degree in government from Georgetown University. Enough of that. Peter Barnes, are you on the line with us?
I'm on the line. Gosh, I feel like I should say 26-1215. This is Peter Barnes.
Yes. I don't know why they have to keep those numbers in there. I guess it's for their own purposes. But we're glad you didn't say that. We're glad that you're here with us live on the radio. And, well, if you could perhaps say in a way that these press releases and biographies can say, what is Working Assets all about?
Well, we could talk about long distance because that's really what we're talking about tonight. And I like to think of Working Assets long distance as basically the AT&T of the left. And, you know, long distance service these days, just like credit cards, pretty much a commodity. They all do the same thing, pretty much. They all make the same number of computer errors, more or less. And to some extent, they all charge about the same rates. What we do is we charge the same rates as U.S. Sprint, which is to say we're a little bit lower than AT&T. And then at no cost to people who make these long-distance calls, we give 1% of the cost of every call into a pool of nonprofit action groups, such as you described, that work for peace, human rights, economic justice, and a safer environment. So basically, the more you talk, the more you help. It's a way to not really put your money where your mouth is, but put our money where your mouth is. And use the business system, use the services that we use every day, like long distance, talking on the phone, and going shopping with credit cards, turn those essentially mundane acts into acts that, at least to a small degree, help promote a better world.
Now, how is this possible without any additional cost to the consumer?
Well, I think what it boils down to is we're not as greedy as some of the other companies. So basically, we offer the same services at the same price and forego a small percentage, which goes into, this is money that would otherwise go to like AT&T or Citibank, depending on who you do your Visa card with. And what we sort of take pride in is cleverly diverting some of that money to good progressive nonprofit organizations.
I see. Now, you've mentioned that you use Sprint. You use Sprint lines?
We use the Sprint fiber optic lines.
I see. Now, how are you able to use Sprint lines without having to pay the full Sprint price?
Well, we have a deal with Sprint. Basically, we buy wholesale from them and pass on some of those savings to the nonprofit groups. That's sort of the essence of how we do it.
I see. Now, how come Sprint, not MCI, not AT&T?
Well, we shopped around a couple of years ago when we got this started. AT&T wasn't interested in talking with us, mostly because with 80% market share, who cares, right? Remember what Lily Tomlin used to say, we're omnipotent. So, and then we talked to MCI, Sprint, and a couple of the smaller ones, and it just turned out that Sprint was the most amenable to working with us.
Now, does it take away business from Sprint if somebody uses you instead of them?
Well, yeah, if people use us instead of them, it does take away business from Sprint, but their hope, and in fact what's happening, is that there's a net gain in customers for Sprint, because while we obviously attract some Sprint customers to Working Assets, we attract more AT&T customers than Sprint customers, so there's more traffic flowing over Sprint lines than there would be without us. That's how Sprint looks
so
at it.
It does help Sprint then to have somebody using you rather than to use AT&T, right? So it would be
their advantage. I mean, our goal in life is not to help Sprint, but in effect that does happen.
Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned that that customers are able to vote on what kind of causes you fund. How do they do this? How does it work?
Well, we have it's about a three-step system where, first of all, we limit the groups that we can support to national groups, not local or regional groups. Otherwise, we would be inundated with nominations. So we're talking, first of all, about national or international groups. Then the customers, the long-distance customers and the credit card holders, nominate groups that are national or international in one of the four issue areas: peace, environment, human rights, and economic justice. So we get several hundred nominations every year. We then screen these nominations. Actually, we hire a progressive foundation called the Tides Foundation to do screening of these groups and that are nominated and check them for effectiveness and so forth. And we then select out of the hundreds that are nominated 32. Actually, this year we increased it to 36 because the pool has been getting bigger. We then list all those groups that we selected, and we try to have a broad sort of representative portfolio in there covering all the major issues. We then put all those groups on a ballot, which gets mailed to all the long-distance users and the credit card holders. We stuff it in one of your bills. And part of that is a ballot which people can send back where you can vote. You can basically take 100%, a pie of 100%, and divide it however you want among the groups that are nominated. And we get a very high participation in this voting. It's much more fun than paying your taxes.
I can imagine.
It doesn't cost you anything, and you get to say where you want the money to go. None of it goes for weapons. Anyway, then the ballots come in, and we count every single one of them. And last year, we got over 20,000 of these ballots back. And the bottom line, at the end of all of this, we then divide the kitty, which keeps getting bigger. Last year, as you mentioned, it was $365,000. This year, it'll probably be about $500,000. We divide that in accordance with the vote. So it's kind of a budgeting process. There's a certain amount of money to be divided among these groups, and you, the customer, who basically generated this kitty by making the long-distance calls, you get to be the budget committee and determine where the money goes.
I see. I imagine that that working assets doesn't allow casual users. Are you familiar with that phrase?
No.
Well, it's the equivalent where you can access AT&T no matter what your long-distance company is by dialing 10288. You don't have that kind of service, though, do you?
Oh, yeah, we do. I mean, you can sign up for working assets and still dial your 10288-0 and get AT&T just in case you're really afraid of cutting the umbilical cord with Ma Bell. You can still do that.
Right, you can do that, but can you do it the other way around and keep AT&T and use working assets by dialing a special code?
You could, but it's not worth the effort. There's just a whole bunch of numbers you have to punch in. It's much better to call us. We, like everyone else in the world, have an 800 number, and if you call our 800 number, we can get you on dial one service with working assets, so you don't have to worry about it. Every time you make a long-distance call, you dial 1 plus the area code and number, just like any other long-distance carrier, and automatically 1% of your calls are going to help these progressive nonprofit groups.
Okay, why don't you give us
a way to do it.
Why don't you give us that 800 number, and if you know the other the five-digit code, I'd just like to have that for my records, but give out all the information that you have.
Yeah, well, the main number is 800-522-7759. 800-522-7759. If you call right now, you can leave your name and address, and we'll mail you information tomorrow. If you wait till tomorrow, you can talk to some real life people.
Sounds good. Okay. Now, if you want to speak to real life people here at the radio station, give us a call, 212-279-3400. And that is our phone number here. Do you guys at Working Assets have any kind of travel card, something you can use on the road?
Yeah, we have a travel card just like any of the other carriers. You have to dial an 800 number first, and then punch in the number you're calling, followed by another code.
And you get a special working assets card?
Yeah, you get a little card you can carry in your wallet, just like the other cards.
Great. Okay, so you'd have all that information at the number then.
Right.
Any other surprises or things that you didn't expect to have happen that have occurred with this company since its inception?
Well, we have been getting a lot of business lately from people who are pissed at AT&T for abandoning Planned Parenthood. And we, of course, not only fund Planned Parenthood, but NARAL and the Ms. Foundation for Women and the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force and a whole lot of other groups that AT&T wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. So it's I think there are a lot of people out there who are all part of one community, and we as a long-distance company and a credit card company really see ourselves as being accountable to this progressive community, or as we like to call it, the community of practical idealists. And I love the idea. I have this vision in my mind of all the practical idealists in America being hooked up on a network where they're supporting the things they believe in just by doing things they do every day. So we're kind of building to that. It, it takes a while to get the thing set up and to spread the word, but that's what we're doing.
Now, working assets is very obviously the exception to something that we've been seeing a lot of recently, what we were talking about earlier. A lot of these new companies, these new services, really seem to be very blatant attempts at ripping people off. Why do you think that... Why do you think so many new companies, so many small companies are doing this, and how does working assets deal with that kind of a problem with any kind of new company trying to start up?
Well, as they say, it's a jungle out there, and you know, we do not engage in fraudulent practices, and our pricing policy is pretty simple, namely that we keep our prices identical to the prices that Sprint charges. So basically we're always competitive with, we're equal to Sprint and competitive with MCI and AT&T. You're asking a pretty deep philosophical question about why humans are into ripping each other off. God only knows. I guess, in a sense, what we're doing is trying to rip off the economic system, in a way. So we're playing the game, but with a same game, but with a slightly different twist.
Uh-huh. You've heard of those companies, though, haven't you? The ones that charge double what AT&T charges, making you seem like you're using a different company, and those customer-owned pay phones that
take all your money.
Yeah, particularly
the pay phones is where a lot of that's going on.
Uh-huh. It's gotten to the point, though, where people don't trust anything that's new, and that's kind of a sad comment.
Too bad. It really taints... the fact that there are good companies out there and a lot of businesses. There's really, I think, in the last few years, an upsurge of socially responsible companies, small companies that are starting up and trying to do business in a way that is environmentally sensitive.
Like Ben & Jerry's, for instance?
Ben & Jerry's is one example.
Uh-huh.
In fact, there's a bunch of companies like this, including Ben & Jerry's, Esprit, Patagonia, Seventh Generation, which is a mail-order company based in Vermont, which sells environmentally sensitive products, Smith & Hawken. We're forming a little group of socially responsible businesses, which we hope to convert into some sort of a political tool. We haven't got all the details worked out, but we think that there is a way for us as businesses, in just the course of everything we do as businesses, we're communicating with millions of people all the time, and to use not only the money that flows through our businesses, but also the communications systems and tools that we have at our disposal, to use those for progressive political purposes and for social and environmental change.
Hands-on access, in other words.
What?
Hands-on access to new technology.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's take some phone calls as we're running out of time rapidly. The number is 279-3400. Good evening.
Hi, let me turn off my radio.
Okay. I should say to anybody that's calling now, turn your radios down so you don't have to do that.
I just wanted to say that every motor vehicles bureau in the country has a list of letters and numbers that cannot be used because they are brought up as obscene.
Yeah, I can imagine there are quite a few of those. I'd give anything to have a copy of that list, though.
Okay, well, I have a copy, but...
You have a copy?
I have a copy of the list.
Well, I'll grant you immortality right here if you send it in.
Well, that'd be kind of difficult because I'd have to take apart a book.
Ah, okay.
I'll send you the reference, though. You can always look it up.
Okay, good enough. Thanks very much. And the address here at WBAI is 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Address anything that you find interesting to Off the Hook, care of Emmanuel Goldstein, and I will be forever grateful. Good evening. As they fumble for the phone, are you there?
Yes. I'd just like to say that in spite of all the technology that we have and in spite of how much WBAI talks about freedom of speech, it's being abused every day, even though I enjoy your program. Earlier this evening, Malika Lee Whitney hung up on two very fine gentlemen twice.
Whoops. I don't know how that happened. There's people out there with 10-line phones that sometimes manage to get on every line. Good evening.
Is this limited to questions about working assets, or can I ask something?
Well, go ahead and ask.
Okay. I wanted to find out, is there any way to determine the difference between the normal insanity of interference on your line and something else that might actually be going on?
The normal insanity of interference?
Yeah, in other words, we all have a certain amount of calls where you reach a squeal sound or a static sound, but I have had a number of things on my line that I really consider the land of Oz, and I wonder, you know, at what point can you determine the difference?
Well, that's a tough question. You know, you'd have to have a professional look at your line. I mean, you know, look for taps, look for, you know, a cross connection or something like that. I mean, every case is different.
Right. Okay.
You know, it depends on the wiring. But thanks for the question. 279-3400. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yes. Hi. I would like to know if one has a card, if I can call Jamaica, because it's one of my big gripes with AT&T. I cannot call Jamaica with one of their, you know, phone cards.
We're talking about Jamaica, the island, I assume.
Right.
Okay, do you have an answer for that?
I'm going to call this I call the 800 number to switch my service, but it's busy, and I'm definitely going to keep calling because I like very much that idea, and I wish everyone with a conscience could.
Okay, well, sir, we want the person that you asked the question of to answer the question. Can
Yeah, hi. To be honest, I don't know about Jamaica. What you should do is call the 800 number tomorrow and talk to a live person and ask them about Jamaica. They'll be able to tell you. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
But in general, you do have a card that one can make calls from any pay phone, and it'll be billed to their home phone, yeah?
That's correct, and the card covers a lot of international countries, but it doesn't cover every single country in the world, so I'm not sure if Jamaica is covered.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling. And, yeah, that's he touched upon a good point. AT&T does block certain countries, especially if there are a lot of fraudulent calls to that country, which is, you know, I can understand them doing it, but it also inconveniences a lot of other people as well. So it's a valid point. Let's take a couple more calls. Good evening.
Yes, I just read something very disturbing in the latest issue of Mondo 2000 in the letters to the editor section where it says... it refers to an article they apparently had on an ATM hack, and it says, basically, there were two problems. This is why they did not reproduce schematics or diagrams of this thing. It says, there were two problems. One is that the ATM hack, as we currently know it, allows you to steal from existing accounts rather than allowing you to set up an account and rob banks. Up to a point, the banks are covering the customer's losses, but if we examine that more closely, it becomes obvious that the customer would at least have to prove it. Furthermore, good, i.e. rich customers, would probably be taken at their word, while poor customers would be suspect. Finally, those of us who are less anal and less money-centered than the norm tend to, as it were, lose our balance. We thought that delusions about overthrowing blah, 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 poor people would be the primary victims. We also thought it was worth showing how the big, solid system is vulnerable to that kind of hack, and thus published the article, but we have better, etc. Now, the point is, I hadn't been aware until this point that the system was vulnerable to hacking, and that is something to think about.
That certainly is, and that's something we'll be discussing on future programs. Thanks so much for bringing that up, though. We are just about out of time. Peter Barnes, president of Working Assets, want to thank you for being with us tonight and wish you the best of luck. Why don't you give out that 800 number one more time before we move on to the next program?
Thanks. It's 800-522-7759, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. This is 5226XY, signing off.
Okay, thanks very much for being part of the program. Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show. And this is WBAI in New York. Emmanuel Goldstein, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Hi, I'm Edward Asner. Do you believe in freedom of speech? I do. That's why I support Free Speech Radio, listener-sponsored WBAI New York, 99.5 on your FM dial.
Get into a country state of mind with Tom Tortorella's Country Music Alternatives. Saturday afternoons, 2 p.m. right here, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.